Hey, Brian, good to see you, man. Glad to have this going, another Direct Connect where we're going to talk about some things off the cuff and just get some opinions out there. I know we have a number of people that have been waiting for us to start this next series of Direct Connects, so here we are. And I think today we're just going to talk about, kind of some things that are driving some differences and some transformations. And I know there's an article out there, I think it was focused on a small town here in Oregon called Umatilla, which is becoming kind of a hub for something as massive as cloud data infrastructure. And when you hear that, Brian, what stands out to you as, kind of the biggest driver of that type of transformation?
Location, 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 I think, is one component. Data centers really need to be in places where you don't have hurricanes and tornadoes on a regular basis, so that they have that stability. You don't have a bunch of earthquakes, a lot of, extreme weather, as I'll term it. And so I think that's one thing that's driving locations. But also, because of the size of infrastructure that the data centers create, I think that's another component that really is driving where these data centers are popping up. Like you said, rural town USA is seeing a data center being stood up in their community, and they're going, wait, where did this come from? And I see that there are some positives and negatives to having, something like that. So on the positive side, when a data center is coming to your city, you've got new jobs, new infrastructure, new revenue sources, things of that nature for the city. But on the other side, you've got concerns about traffic, for example, where are all these employees going to live? things like
prices
that.
Prices of housing prices, right? Those are going to go up. It definitely has an impact on the community, right? And that, I don't know what that does to the job market. I guess it's a positive thing for the job market. There's going to be some new construction roles out there. But sometimes those are more temporary, but the lasting impact might be, like you said, additional traffic, because more people are going to stay there and live there. And you're going to have the prices. Like, I think in this article, they even said that the home prices have doubled. I don't know what time period, but that's huge. And, those that are living there, not all of them are utility people with these big jobs. Some of them are farmers that have cyclical type of, incomes. And that might be a huge impact. It might be positive for farmers, too. I don't know. Just the overall value of things are going to change. And that will have a big change. But obviously, utilities, when you're looking at a data center and you're like somebody like Google or eBay or any of those big ones, you're looking for the cheapest amount of electricity you can get. And I guess that makes sense. Not only being rural, you're also close to a giant river there in the Umatilla area. You got the Columbia River just sitting right there with a ton of opportunity for, utilization for producing energy, or more so in water and cooling kind of things too. So just a lot of options there. But I was thinking not just that perspective, but what impact would it have on a utility the size of Umatilla was something I started thinking about. And I think a lot of it's going to be compliance and regulatory issues for them too. They're a relatively small but very large co-op. But that's going to really press them and press other organizations like that into new regulatory strata that is going to be unique.
Absolutely. If you think about just the amount of load that a data center requires, a lot of utilities just don't have this, particularly small utilities don't have that type of megawatts just sitting around waiting to be utilized, And so it's a matter of now we've got to figure out how are we going to source this load? Where are we going to get the generation to support the load? Additionally, the smaller utilities typically have some of your older equipment. And so with the effects of data load centers and, well, data centers and large other types of large loads, oftentimes they have a huge spike in usage and then just a cliff drop off. And if you don't have the right modeling and or equipment for your relay protection and other devices, you could really create a situation where your data centers are really causing havoc or wreaking havoc, so to speak, on your load profiles.
Oh, absolutely. And we talk about compliance from our perspective of the utilities compliance, but there's other things that are going to impact the local government. They're going to have a lot of things they're probably going to have to deal with. And I would assume, looking at those long-term risks and sustainability capabilities and such are going to be a big impact. I believe that article I asked a very key question. What happens when the building slows or stops? You have all these data centers going. What happens then? What metrics or indicators should local government leaders monitor to know, whether the boom is sustainable or is it overall at risk? You don't not need a gold rush where, they all came in and then when things weren't going well, they all disappeared, right?
That's right.
I think that's a big issue that not just the utilities, the governments of the where those these booms are happening, where these data centers are being placed in these rural areas are going to have to pay attention. I'm not sure they're all paying that much attention. Maybe they are, but knowing a lot of munis out there, there's some that are more proactive than others. So that to me, that's going to be a big issue. And that takes me down the path, Brian, of other things that are going to even make maybe data centers larger, which is AI and what is that going to do? Is that's likely what's pushing more of these data centers, more usage of computer power. I'm
Absolutely,
assuming.
absolutely. And so as you see the increased usage of AI, the increased usage of I'll term them the interactive web games, and whether that's Call of Duty or some of those other Black Ops or games, or even football games or soccer games, you pick the gaming console and or game itself. When you're trying to connect, 12 different people playing together, or multiple individuals trying to play on a singular game and have it real time, so without the lag that in order to play like that, all of that creates this need for fast, reliable connections, and therefore fast, reliable energy to support all of that connection.
Right. It all compounds each other, right? We got all
That's
this
right.
technology that we keep on developing. And thank you, Elon Musk, for helping us with that. We keep on getting these new things that come out, and that just demands more and more computing power. And computing power is directly related to the electricity, the loads that are coming in. They are large loads, and they're going to continue to be larger. I think all the models that I've seen are just unbelievable, actually. If you think of what 2030 is going to look like, and only a mere 5 years or 4 years from now, it's going to be significantly more demand on the grid than it ever has been. And it's amazing what we've created. This grid is, we talk about it all the time, the greatest machine man has ever made, right? But it's fragile as it is, right? And I think
Absolutely.
fragility doesn't just come from the grid itself. It comes from the workforce, and I constantly think about we're building this out, but do we have the workforce? Do we have the programs in our colleges, in our universities, in our do we have that to build out this? I to me, I see it all the time. We're losing knowledge, losing a lot of knowledge, and it's great to have all this new computer stuff, but when it comes down to brass tacks, electricity still has some copper out there, and you're still gonna have to use
Absolutely.
old-fashioned stuff when the proverbial turd hits the fan. You got to have those experts out there, and I see that as a big problem. But also on the big problem on just general IT and cyber people that are interested in working in our industry, not just the IT side, but the OT side. I'm not sure if you're seeing that same problem, but I sure do.
I see that, and you know, kind of in sync with that. And so I think there are a couple other components that kind of all meld together. So we talked about some of the data center loads and the gaming loads, but then also there's this increase in use of electricity, and whether that's because you're now, you know, there are more electric vehicles being used, or whether it's because I'm sitting right here in front of three monitors, you know, at one, you know, one place in my home, and then I've got my cell phone connected. My son's got another three devices connected. My wife's got two or three devices connected, and then you've got however many televisions in the house that are all now smart TVs that are pulling, you know, power and doing more than just what I would term the typical TV that we in a Generation X might know. And so all of that is driving that. But then on that other side, like you were talking about, you also have the workforce component. And the workforce, particularly IT, OT, a lot of times what I'm seeing is a lot of your IT, OT professionals that are coming out of school, they want to go somewhere where it's, you know, I'm going to term it the job that's sexy, you know, the job right, where there's a bunch of IT all around me versus being in small town USA working and supporting a data center. And so how do you, you know, how do you balance that of wanting to and needing to place these large data centers out in rural locations where your workforce wants to be in the big city, so to speak? And so that's another component that from a workforce perspective, I think we're going to be challenged with and continue to see a challenge, even with remote, you know, being able to work remote. I still think you're going to see some challenges there.
Yep, absolutely. And we're going to continue seeing, you know, other things I think of as weather related matters. They end up resulting as we get more and more mature and as a country, more and more people can afford unique things, such not necessarily unique, but air conditioning. We take it for granted sometimes that some people have air conditioning, but not everybody has air conditioning. We start adding more air conditioning. We start adding multiple freezers, multiple devices in your generation generators at home, all kinds of different devices that pull power because of weather, right? We're buying those extra freezers in order to store food in case of bad weather.
Yes.
So that's an impact. But overall, I tend to wonder, you know, as we start putting more emphasis on protecting the grid for bad weather, does that have a additional load to it as well? Or is that just expense? I don't know.
You know, I think it depends on what technology you're using. So, for example, a technology that some substations are using are shot detectors, you know, and so you've got a shot detector, which is, you know, basically just a device that when it registers the sound of a gunshot, it's going to, you know, ping someone in your security department or what have you. Well, those are going to require some level of additional energy to, you know, keep them on. And whether they're solar powered or you pick the type of electricity that's supporting it, there's still a electrical need associated with that type of protection device. And there may be other protection devices that are electronic. And then you've got, you know, the protection devices that are just kind of what I'm going to term the old fashioned, no electric needed, but it's maybe a staffing issue because now you've got people literally sitting out at a substation for more hours or more time because of potential inclement weather. Your remote connector's not working, or, you know, in some cases, Substations are controlled remotely when weather gets bad, so that could be an electric drain. So it can really go both ways
Yeah.
there.
Well, it's not only drained, then these data centers, the reliability of these data centers become more and more and more important as time goes on. I remember the day when email servers were just coming out. We had email, but it wasn't a critical system, right? It was kind of the geeks thing of doing things. We didn't have a lot of email. I remember when the email servers started going down because we didn't invest in redundancy or common, type of controls around assuring uptime. Those started going down and people started screaming because they become dependent on these things. So these data centers are supporting things that we become dependent upon, which is AI. We become dependent on these gaming things. We become dependent that our five TVs that are streaming 16 different type of movies and shows across the internet to our house. We become dependent on that, and that dependency
Absolutely.
demands the grid to be bigger. And as that demand happens, weather-related type of activities become a serious issue. We're not tolerant of downtime anymore.
That's right.
We literally want the light switch that we have at our home all the time and never to go down. And so that has an impact. And we know that it's important because the NERC standards are coming out and focusing on weather-related. And we're getting into the winter season now too. So that's a big issue. But I see this all coming together. Data centers being out in the rural, we have workforce challenges, we got compliance, which is one of the top issues that all utilities face is compliance, compliance, compliance. And that's ever changing and continuing growing. We got weather issues, we got demands for more load to be available. We have all this. Sounds like a perfect storm to me.
Well, there's also the integration, the integration interdependence of AI now. So, for example, utilities are utilizing AI to help determine what compliance issues they might have, which ways that they might utilize staffing better. I mean, there's so many different ways that AI is being utilized. So utilities are using and needing these data centers in order to do the work that they want to do and need to do. And then there's an interdependence now between what the utility needs, and the data centers then need the energy from the utilities. And so if the utility goes down, the data center goes down, and then the utility can't get back up. And so now you kind of get in this circle.
Oh my gosh. You know what we need? We need nuclear f fusion right now.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know if you
Personal
heard
home
about,
nuclear fusion.
did you hear about I guess it's been going on for a long time and I just suddenly paid attention. It's called ITER, ITER. It's in France where they're building a star. If they do this right, it is like the largest thing I've ever seen in my life. It's unbelievable. And I don't understand half of the article that I was reading about it, but it is gigantic. It is so big. It's probably the biggest thing man has ever tried to make. And it's a long ways from being done. But if they can do this, if they can build a star, we won't have these problems anymore. It'll go away. So I'm really hoping. ITER, ITER. Look it up if you haven't. Do a Google on that one. It'll blow your mind. That would be a solution to all this,
I'll
I think.
definitely have to take a look at that one.
At least I hope they don't build a star that has an end date on it, though.
That's
We don't want a dead star on our hands. Anyway, well, Brian, we're kind of coming up to end here. I really appreciate your insight as always, and I appreciate everybody listening on this. Direct Connect. We're going to start pumping these out more and great topics. So if there is a topic you're really interested in, throw it our way. We tried to keep these loose and fancy. And honestly, Brian and I didn't even know what we were going to talk about until we got on here. So exciting times, and I appreciate you guys. Take care, everyone.
Take care. Thank you.
Not only is Direct Connect available to listen to, you can also watch each episode on our YouTube channel. Just go to youtube.com/@ArcherU. If you're interested in who we are and what we do, you can head on over to our website at archerint.com. You can also follow us on our social media platforms, Archer International on Facebook and Archer Energy Solutions LLC on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening, and check back every other week for brand new episodes of Direct Connect.